The topic of tonight is the continuation of the book study. And the book is called Revolutionary Psychology, written by the founder of the Gnostic movement, Samael Aun-Wiwa. And we've been going through it chapter by chapter, about once a month, covering a chapter. And tonight is chapter 5. The title of this chapter is To Accuse Oneself. So a very intriguing title there. And obviously I'll be explaining what that means in this show. It's more of a psychological topic. And so in this inner work, we talk a lot about our psychology and our egos and also about our essence. So it's good to start from the point of view of the essence, because pretty sure last time we talked on this book, it was covering the topic of the essence, or it could have been the time before. Anyways, it's on the recording on the website. If you didn't know already, you can head to gnosticwaves.com. That's GnosticWaves.com. And you can find past show recordings there. If you are interested and want to learn more, then please head to the website. So the essence is something that we all have in various amount, but roughly it's said that we're comprised of 3% free essence, and the rest of our essence, so 97%, is trapped and asleep. And so that trapped essence we call the ego. Now, that free essence is something that is what we want to develop and to cultivate in our life, in our way of being, because it is the part of ourselves that's most free. It's connected to the truths of life, the truths of death, and everything in between. It is that spark we have that's very much more active when we're young, when we're, you know, still a kid. But as we get older, we don't trust the essence as much as we could, and we become more conditioned, and particularly our personality becomes more conditioned and set. And, you know, we learn specific types of behaviour, cultural, different traditions that we're born into, different countries, all affect our personality and hence how we express ourselves. And how we express our essence, or how we express our egos. Now, it's said that our essence comes from the Milky Way. So by this definition, we are all extraterrestrial. So I thought I'd mention that. It's really interesting to reflect on the fact that the essence is from other parts of the galaxy. Because we get so caught up in ourselves and also our planet, and then we forget to realize that there's so much more that's out there, but we focus on our sort of little world, and then we can get really worked up about things and just miss that perspective of the greater world around us. I just wanted to mention that because, it helps me to put things in perspective when, you know, life gets overwhelming or we get stuck in a particular problem, then there is a lot more out there than just our perception, our conditioned perception, you could say. So in this chapter, it starts by talking about our purpose of life and finding that higher purpose, and that if we don't work to discover that higher purpose, then essentially our life has been wasted. And what our purpose is, we don't, and we may not know. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are continually searching for things that make them happy, like finding the perfect job or finding the perfect partner or finding the perfect something. you know, towards making themselves happy. And in a way, you could say that our purpose is to find that happiness. And really, happiness is born from the heart. So it's learning how to, in essence, follow our heart, because our heart is going to know what will make us happy. Our higher being, our higher divinity, also speaks to us through the heart. And so the more connected we are to that center and have all our centers balanced, then we're going to be able to connect with what our higher purpose is, or just our purpose. And I know some people say, oh, there is no higher purpose. Life, the meaning of life is whatever we give it. And in a way, it's sort of saying the same thing to me, because the meaning you give to your life is what really makes you happy and what's in your heart. And so therefore, you find out what is in your heart, it will open up for you, you know, what it is that makes you happy in life, and therefore how you will live your life. But there's a big blockage to learning what our purpose is or what makes us happy, and that is that we need to understand and get out of what's called the prison of pain. So we find ourselves trapped by our suffering. And this is a really interesting perspective, because we may not want to suffer, but we inadvertently find ourselves suffering all the time. And interestingly enough, we become attached to our suffering. And so when we try and find happiness, we actually have to look inside at what's causing us suffering, and to be able to liberate that pain. And it's not as easy as you'd think. Like, you would think we would want to be without suffering, yet we continually find ourselves in that state. And there's lots of different reasons why. A lot of them stem from, you could say, desires, unfulfilled desires, wants, expectations, needs that we have in life. But part of this work is to actually learn how to liberate ourselves from things that make us weak and cause us suffering. And then, yeah, we start to look within to find what those things are. And essentially, it brings us to the work that we have on ourselves, to transform ourselves from within. But before we can learn to do this, we have to understand what it means to accuse oneself. And when I was reflecting on this talk today, I was thinking the more diplomatic or nicer way of saying that is to learn to become objective of oneself. So if we start by being objective, then we're going to understand and look at ourselves in a different way. So, for example, if we are in a circumstance, we have a problem with a particular person, the idea is to look at ourselves and what is it that we are doing in this situation that we can actually wake up to and to change. And that's when we start to actually accuse oneself, because we start to look at our own behaviour, our own way of thinking and our own way of feeling associated with this event. And it's quite difficult, because normally we by default seem to want to blame others. So that seems to be our very first response to any difficulty. And it happens to the best of us. Even if you are aware that you do that, it's just second nature to always instantly blame your problem on another person. But if we want to really change and transform our lives and our situation and not be caught up in this prison of pain, then it's in our interest to actually start to look at ourselves more objectively. So not to take a step back, figuratively speaking, and to look at ourselves in any given situation that we have a problem, and to see what exactly is there that we're able to work on to help the situation better. And when I'm saying this, I'm conscious that we might think, you might go to the extreme of always wanting to accuse yourself. I always make mistakes. It's always my fault, et cetera, et cetera. And that is probably taking the teaching to an extreme that isn't so necessary, because it's never 100% one person's fault. Well, maybe in some circumstances, but generally both people are making mistakes because we are all asleep, essentially. So we all have our essence that is predominantly in a conditioned state. And so when we work to wake ourselves up, we find that this isn't what the majority of people do. So the majority, as I said, we want to blame other people for things happening all the time. And so when we start to work on ourselves, we become a minority in that. But by doing that, we affect other people as well. So by taking on that responsibility of our part, we actually help the other person to take responsibility for their part, showing that leadership or that maturity in approaching the circumstance. Because even if, so say we're all making mistakes all the time, even if we acknowledge our mistake and then we see someone has made a mistake, would you really want to point out to them that they've made a mistake? I mean, really, if you comprehend that we're all making mistakes all the time, then you wouldn't really want to make someone else feel bad about their mistake. So, yeah, it's something that the nature, or by working on ourselves, it causes things to happen out of the ordinary. Because as is said in this chapter, it's people don't naturally work on themselves. Well, not immediately anyway, maybe after a long time of repeating the same things and getting the same problems happen, they might start to look within. But it's something that we need to learn to do, and to actually spend time to reflect on ourselves and our inner state. So in the next chapters, it talks more about life and our inner state, how they affect our external state. So we'll just go to a short music break. I've chosen a track from a favourite ballet music CD, and this is from the Swan Lake Ballet. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Okay, we're back on the Gnostic Waves show, and I've been talking or reviewing a chapter in the book Revolutionary Psychology, which is working to help us do exactly that. Look at our psychology, look at ourselves, and to, see ourselves and to see life in a different way, a different perspective, in order to help to free us from pain, and to search for that happiness and meaning of life that we may be lacking in. And so I wanted to talk a bit more about how it is that we can release ourselves from different forms of suffering. And so the things I was reflecting on is, well, firstly, try not to turn life itself into a problem. I mean, we have to do things in life. We have to work in one way or another, in either in a paid job or you know, if we have a family to, you know, work to feed and to clean and all those things. We have to pay bills. And then there's things like aging that is a natural process, sickness, and even the fact that, that death occurs. These things are naturally occurring phenomenon. They're not a problem. We can turn them into a problem. And I especially think of things like going to work if we're not happy. You know, going to work can be a problem, but it's just really a fact of life that we have to, yeah. And things like sickness, it's really hard to not be miserable when you're sick, but there is a really nice teaching that says that we should try not to turn sensations into an emotion. So if we're feeling sick is a sensation, to not turn it into emotion where we feel really sorry for ourselves. And it can be difficult because there's, you know, a variety of different sensations, but yeah, it's all under that, really that umbrella of working to transform those interior states that we feel at various points in our lifetime. So then also in our interactions with people, in relationships, work, family, complete strangers on the street, is to try not to blame other people. So if things are happening, like, you know, the bus is running late, we might think, oh, you know, the bus driver was just being a bit too, not pushy enough and should be just driving ahead of the cars, and the cars are meant to give way to the bus driver, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if we catch ourselves or observe ourselves, we might see that we're always wanting to blame things on other people. And this sort of goes hand in hand with complaining. So maybe we might not blame people like out loud, but we would be complaining in our head. And so I found that that is also something that we get trapped into and stops us from taking responsibility for things happening in our life. So if we can manage not to complain, that's like a really excellent step. And then there is looking at ourselves objectively. So learning to sort of point the finger back at us, and not in a way that we're putting ourselves down all the time, just to do it in an objective, factual way, like we were viewing our life from outside of us and seeing the events. That's what it means truly to be objective. And we know that the consciousness possesses that perception. We don't normally possess that perception because we, our consciousness is trapped and conditioned, and it goes from one egotistical perspective to another. And we don't really see that transition between the different perceptions in a day. We just think that we're one continuum. But really, when we scrutinize what's going on in our head, in our mind, then we see we're not just one continuum. We're lots of different thoughts, feelings, perceptions. And yeah, it's quite intriguing actually when we start to look deeper and we find that we are actually a multitude of desires, of egos essentially. This is one of the main teachings of in the Gnostic work, is that we have a multitude of eyes within us. And we've said this before many times. Yeah, when we're angry, we're not angry all the time. The anger comes and it goes. If we are fearful about something, it's not there expressing all the time. It's in the subconscious all the time, but it's not like expressing in the human machine. Like if we have a panic attack or something, we have a panic attack and then it goes away until we, you know, it comes back again. When we're feeling really proud and conceited. Again, it's not or there all the time. It's not there when we've made a mistake and someone's pointed it out to us. It's hiding, you know, and so on and so forth. So we start to actually observe these things, and when we observe them, when we can start to become more objective and then understand what it means to accuse oneself all the time. And yeah, it's not really something extraordinary. It just takes a bit of maturity, and it takes a bit of effort to be able to look at ourselves objectively like that. Yeah, so once we are able to give more of our energy to the essence, to the consciousness, we can start to really perceive what is our true purpose and meaning in life. And we are able to tap into imagination, inspiration, and intuition. And through these means, we're going to be more in tune and be able to express our real true self. Until then, we are, you know, still bottled up and conditioned. So yeah, let's go to another short music break, and then we'll come back and do the meditation practice for tonight. So pick another track from the Swan Lake Ballet, and back in a short while. So we'll just go straight into the meditation practice. Getting ourselves comfortable. Allowing the physical body to relax. We don't want to relax too much so that we fall asleep, but feeling the body just being still and slowing down. We focus on the process of breathing, taking some deep breaths to rejuvenate and to invigorate the body, the mind, the emotions. Flow of oxygen going through the body, going through the mind, removing any tensions, any stagnant energies, any thoughts of the day we've just had, any thoughts of work. Any thoughts at all. In the process of relaxation, trying to connect with what we perceive as our inner essence. It's always a great place to start our meditation practice. Connecting with the essence, that's the freest part of our consciousness. And if we struggle to perceive what the essence is, we just can try and connect with the heart, the energies in the heart. Taking some time to relax our emotional center. So if we're feeling anything like anxiety or impatience, fear, taking some time to release those emotions. So firmly establishing that center of gravity within the essence, within ourselves. And if we lose our concentration, we bring it back to that point. So now we're going to go over our day today. Actually, it could be any day we'd like. We're going to look, observe, the day and try to find some type of event that we weren't happy with, that we blamed someone else for. Whether that was out loud or just inside, within us. It may have happened a few times, but we'll just start with finding one main example and work to understand the situation better. And trying to take responsibility for whatever it is that happened. So if we found this event, we can ask ourselves, what would we do differently next time to take responsibility of whatever it is that happened? When we take responsibility, we are, in a way, liberating ourselves. So now let's work with the mantra EO, which helps us to connect with the Divine Mother, the Divine Feminine Force. And that force can help us to go deeper in our comprehension of whatever it is that we're reflecting on. This mantra can offer us a deeper insight that we may need. We may be missing some information or perspective. When we work with this mantra, we also help activate our imagination and intuition to see what it is that we need to, what we can and what we need to do. So let's work with it 3 times. With the mantra another 3 times. Relaxing into the practice. Thank you. So now let's work with the mantra EO a third set of times. Spending some time to reflect on anything we've comprehended in this practice, what we've learnt, what we can do to change so that next time we don't experience the same suffering, same problem. Thus we eliminate any resentment we have towards another person, to our workplace, as we can forgive. Forgive ourselves any errors. We can forgive others their errors. And now when we're ready, we can end the practice.